Ah, it's Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. It is no holds barred. Today's program, we are bringing the heat. We are bringing the fire. On the program today, we've got AFL. We're talking Brad Scott as he moves on from North Melbourne. And Tex Walker, I've been saying it for weeks. The focus is on him and it's all for the wrong reasons. We've got NBA Finals. It's the Raptors versus the Warriors. Kawhi Leonard, can he be stopped? Is Klay Thompson the man to shut him down? And we've got French Open underway from Paris. Roland Garros. We've got Nadal, Federer, Novak and team. And the Aussie men off to a good start. This is No Holds Barred. Okay, here we are. Welcome to the show, No Holds Barred Sports Podcast, Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. Great to be back on the airwaves and a bit to talk about today on today's program. We're going to start with AFL action. We're going to move on to the NBA Finals, Raptors and Warriors. Raptors, four straight wins there against the Milwaukee Bucks. Who saw that coming? I definitely know I didn't. After the first two games, the Bucks looked absolutely supreme. They looked like a super tight, impressive outfit, but then they just absolutely come apart. We will talk about that. They looked like they were going to be a threat to the Warriors dynasty. I actually saw that as a good matchup, but the Raptors had other ideas. Who would have thought? And then we've got some French Open action coming up from Roland Garros. Yes, the French Open is underway. We're going to talk about some of the contenders and we'll talk about some of the Australian performers. We're going to keep you up to date over the next couple of weeks. French Open action, we love it here. Grand Slam action on the program. But we're going to start with AFL. We're going to talk about a couple of topics and we're going to start with North Melbourne Football Club. We're going to talk about Brad Scott, the coach who is out the door and has the Brad Scott fallout. Is that going to set a domino effect in the coaching circles in the AFL? A lot of pressure on another bunch of coaches. John Worsfold under the pump. Richardson of St Kilda under the pump. And of course, Brendan Bolton seriously, well and truly under the pump down there at Carlton Town. We're going to talk about Brad Scott and whether or not he was moved on or whether or not he walked away, bottom line is this, folks. The writing was on the wall for Brad Scott. He saw it coming and he took control of the narrative. And it seems he's gone to the board and it looks like it is a mutual agreement. Whether or not it was or not, well done to Brad Scott for taking control of the narrative, because I think it was only a matter of time before he was moved on. North Melbourne had to make a move and had to make it fast. This team is not going anywhere. They are a team really devoid of answers. And as much as Carlton Football Club, for example, seem to be in a lot worse of a situation or place, Carlton have a bunch of young players that are all a similar kind of age, a similar kind of demographic, I guess, age demographic, where North Melbourne, they seem all over the place. They've got some aging players. They've brought some guys in from other clubs that are not getting the job done. And all kinds of speculation and heat on North Melbourne Football Club. Now, Brad Scott, really commend him in taking control of the narrative. I think he will coach again in this league. And I think that, look, I think with Carlton under the pump, with Brendan Bolton, what I can see happening in the next 5 to 6 weeks, if Carlton cannot get two or three wins on the board over the next 5 to 6 weeks, I see Brendan Bolton out and I see Carlton Football Club bringing in Brad Scott. Yes, I know that may seem over the top or jumping the gun, but in this industry, this microwave mentality, I think AFL clubs have no patience in regards to what they're doing. The media are all over them. The pressure is now intense and more so than ever. And I see clubs looking to jump the gun and put pressure on coaches and making moves that really they shouldn't be making. I think it will be a move that comes on too fast. But as I said before, in this day and age, clubs need to act and act fast. And as the pressure mounts week by week with loss by loss, I see Carlton making a real big play on former North Melbourne coach Brad Scott. Now, where does North Melbourne go from here? Look, I think Reece Shaw is going to take the reins there. I see, really don't know moving forward who is going to be available. There's been talk of John Longmire coming on board. I think the Sydney Swans will wrap him up. So I think North Melbourne in a lot of trouble with their club. You know, where do they go from here? Great thing with the AFL is you can turn it around quickly. But it just seems that Brad Scott got out while he could. Look, I think he did a great job overall. Been there 10 years, very rarely you see that. But the time was up for Brad Scott, and he did a good job. It looks like it's worked out well for Scott. He wasn't didn't come across like he was fired or he had his for lack of a better term, he had his head chopped off with a sword. I really see a similar kind of approach coming with Brendan Bolton. He'd be smart to go to the board and say, look, it's not working out, I've lost the players. Instead of just being on the chopping block and absolutely crushed from the media. He's under all kinds of scrutiny and heat, Brendan Bolton. I think he's, I think he speaks very, very well. He carries himself very, very well, but this league is about wins and losses. And if you are not getting the wins, you have got to go. It's just the way it is. So Brad Scott, North Melbourne, will keep you up to date with this moving forward. But it was time. The time was up. It felt like that. It felt like it was flat. And you cannot have flat. You cannot have lack of energy or direction or results in the AFL. And it's only a matter of time. So good luck to Brad Scott. And as I said, keep an eye on this space. I see him possibly taking charge of Carlton Football Club and that being announced sometime this year. It is a fascinating... It will be fascinating watching that moving forward. Coming up next, we are talking about a guy I've spoken about on this program earlier on in the season, Tex Walker of Adelaide. I was on this 5 or 6 weeks ago, upwards of 7 weeks ago, and everybody thought I was foolish. Well, guess who gets the last laugh? Yes, the Culf Man does. This is Jade Culf at the Culf Man. This is No Holds Barred. Yeah, Brad Scott. I think he did a good job. I think he got out of that reputation intact. I think, look, with Scott, I think he does a good job in front of the mic. Very sticks up for his players. And look, the players seem to have his back, seem to love him. But look, I think it ran its course. So. Look, a good result for all parties concerned. Where do North Melbourne go from here? It'll be interesting. Watch this space. So we're back on the show, yes. And we're going to move from the coaching circles onto the players and a specific player that we're going to talk about here. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because I mentioned this 5 or 6 weeks ago on the show and people thought I was being a little bit harsh. But look, sometimes the people are incorrect and sometimes I am right. And Tex Walker, Adelaide Football Club. Yes, I said about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I looked at this guy's performances about 3 or 4 weeks into the season. And look, they were absolutely mediocre at best. And, you know, playing one good game in five. I'm talking about one good game. I'm not talking about like a game-breaking game where, you know, you take 15 grabs, kick 5 goals, split a few packs, show great leadership, and, you know, guys are bouncing off you like your He-Man. This guy was just scraping past, you know, at the best of times. And look, there's been some players that have caught plenty of heat this year from Adelaide in terms of Bryce Gibbs and Josh Jenkins, to name a few. But look, basically, Tex Walker has been ordinary. It's really as simple as that. And I mentioned on this show, I said 5 or 6 weeks ago, that just because he was the co-captain of this club was the only thing that was keeping him in this team. I mentioned that it seemed like a bit of a boys' club. He's not the only one in the competition that I think gets a game week in, week out, when they should be in the reserves, or they should be in the Sandful, or they, you know, should be in the VFL. And, you know, Jared Roughead has been scrutinised as well, but this guy was getting an absolute pass mark, and finally, over the weekend, it got the mainstream media caught onto the fact that, you know, Tex Walker, look, he's been ordinary. Simple as that. And there was and nowhere was that more evident than that 50-50 ball in that West Coast game where Tex Walker embarrassingly pulled out of a contest. And it looked bad. It looked bad. It was bad. It is bad. That's not what the game's about. Stick your head over the ball. Take the bump. You know, guy's 6'3", 6'4", weighs 100 kilograms. And, you know, you're pulling out like that and you are the captain. The writing has been on the wall. And it was only a matter of time before this guy was exposed. Now, this is what goes on and happens at clubs, AFL clubs, where guys are a protected species and you play favourites and, you know, call it the coach's pet or the organisation's pet or whatever, and you protect guys. This is what happens. And, you know, Adelaide, are they underachieving so far this year? Oh, look, maybe they've got a pass mark. But look, when you've got the co-captain of your club pulling out a contest like that, and you got a guy running around in the Sandful, in the reserves, who is the future of your club at centre half forward and at full forward, and, you know, it's sometimes you just got to give guys a tap on the shoulder and say, look, you need to go find some form, get some touches, show that you can still get the job done and perform. But if you don't do that, then guys eventually get found out and exposed. And Tex Walker, you know, he copped an absolute barrage from the weekend, but this is long overdue. There has been ordinary performance after ordinary performance from him this year, just getting by. I'm talking about, he probably averages about 10 touches a game, you know, and for a co-captain or a captain or a so-called marquee guy, one of the marquee forwards in the competition, to be getting that it's not good enough. Simple as that. And he's not marquee, hasn't been marquee for a very, very long time, and may have only been a marquee player or a top 20 player in the AFL maybe one season. Hasn't been that way for a long time, and they've got to stop, talking about guys and putting them in the marquee or high impact player or elite status. He hasn't had that for quite some time. He hasn't had it this year, and he is long overdue to go back to the Sandful and get some forms, get some touches. So go back and get some touches. Put him in the sand full. Go back, get your 20 touches, 25 touches, 30 touches, 10 touches at AFL level. Whether you're a marquee guy or you're not, but especially if you're playing centre half forward, you know, 10 touches, that's it. 10. That's, if you go back and take a look at the numbers, that is about what he would average. 10 touches, maybe 3 marks, 5 kicks. It is that good enough? Is that good enough from your co-captain and supposedly one of the best centre-half forwards in Australia? No, it's not. It's nowhere near good enough. And it's been building for a while. You swept it under the carpet and it come crashing down over the weekend. Embarrassing. And, you know, Adelaide Football Club need to make some tough decisions moving forward. And Walker, look, hopefully, nothing better than seeing a player in full flight and ripping games apart. Haven't seen it from this guy, rarely ever. And it's time to stop giving guys a pass mark, sweeping things under the carpet, and you know, tapping guys on the shoulder when they need to. Otherwise, your team suffers. Simple as that. This is Jade Colfe at the Colfe Man. We'll be back after the break. Ten touches. Are you kidding me? And you're going to pull out of a contest like that. Back to the sandfall. Okay, we're going to segue on to some NBA action. And the NBA Finals will get underway in a couple of days' time. The Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. Raptors getting through in six. They win 4 straight, come flying home, and Kawhi Leonard leading the Raptors to the NBA Finals. Startling, really, how the Bucks from 2-0 up just completely fell apart. Giannis couldn't make free throws in the fourth quarter and overtime. Was exposed, really, not having the outside shot. The Raptors got all their big men and formed a defensive wall, just kept him out of the paint where he's so dominant. And the supporting cast of the Milwaukee Bucks, Chris Middleton, Brogdon, Bledsoe, couldn't get it done, couldn't make outside shots. And you can't make outside shots in the league, in the NBA in 2019, you are going to lose. And the Bucks are out. They've got to retool that thing. And yes, so the Raptors into their first NBA Finals. How is the series going to go? Well, really looking forward to the Kawhi Leonard and the Klay Thompson matchup. The Warriors will throw more than Thompson at Leonard. They've got Iguodala, who should be back from his injury. They've had plenty of time to rest, upwards of 10, 11, 12 days, the Warriors, after blowing by the Portland Trail Blazers. And the Kevin Durant injury is a fascinating one. You know, does he come back? They think game one, he will be out. And yeah, fascinating narrative. Durant copying, not criticism, but it's the same old thing. Will he stay? Will he go? You know, they're winning, making the NBA Finals without him after he went down with that calf injury. I believe it wasn't a calf injury. I think it was more an Achilles injury, and I'll be surprised if we actually do see him in these NBA Finals. And Steph Curry has been absolutely lights out for the Warriors against the Blazers, and they're a much more enjoyable team to watch without Durant. I think they are better with Kevin Durant, with KD there. Just as the shot clock's winding down, they can just feed him the ball. He goes to work, makes buckets, makes shots, can get you a hoop at any time. But look, I think they just cut better. There's more movement without Durant in the lineup, and Steph Curry is virtually unstoppable. High pick and roll action, and with him creating everything running through him, they are absolutely beautiful to watch. It's great basketball. And, you know, will the Raptors be able to make some inroads into this one? I think it's going to be a closer series than people think. I've got the Raptors winning game one in Toronto. They do have the home court advantage. And then I see Golden State winning game two. I think the favorite in every series. I think they've got a 65-70% clip win percentage in that game two on the road. And I think this thing heads back to Golden State 1-1 with them in the box seat. It's going to be a good one. Really looking forward to it. And the Kawhi Leonard, he's been great throughout the playoffs. This is why Toronto brought him across. They made some big moves, moving on their coach of the year, moving him on, bringing across Kawhi Leonard. He could be one and done. The free agency stakes will be heating up. That's going to be fascinating. That's a whole nother discussion for another show. But looking forward to this one, Raptors and Warriors. This thing is littered with possibilities, and we're going to look forward to bringing it to you. As I said, I think Raptors win game one, and the Warriors will win game two. We're going to come to you on the program as soon as these NBA finals get underway. It should be a beauty. We love it here on the program, and we'll be bringing it all to you on the No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. Up next, we're going to talk French Open. Yes, the French Open is underway. We've got Nadal, Federer, Novak, Dominic Thiem, and all the Australian action from Roland Garros. We're going to be bringing it to you over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be back to discuss what's going on, what to expect on the slow red clay. This is Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. This is No Holds Barred. Yeah, NBA Finals. It's always a lot of fun. Should be a cracker. Should be interesting. Warriors, red hot favorites. I mean, these guys, they're loaded. But Leonard playing good ball, and Toronto, they've got some experience there. They're a hard-nosed outfit. Should be good. We're going to segue on to the French Open tennis underway there in Paris at Roland Garros. And we're going to talk about, we've got the usual characters in play there. Rafa Nadal, Roger Federer back in Paris for the first time since 2015. Novak Djokovic, super impressive in round one there the other night. Dominic Thiem got through in four sets. And last night it was Alex Zverev who survived five over Australia's John Millman. He always gives everything he's got out there, Millman, and Zverev found a way 6-3 in the fifth set. We're going to be bringing this coverage to you over the 2 weeks. Plenty to talk about. The Australian men, I was talking to someone there the other day. Have you seen the draw for some of these Australian men for the first round? Talk about some amazing matchups for the Aussie men. I'm talking about normally where the Australian men are ranked. It's really a lucky draw prize. And, you know, a little bit unlucky for John Millman drawing Zverev, but Alexei Poprin, Alex Diminar had some really soft matchups in the opening round, and both those young Australians cashed in on those matchups. Very important to be able to do that. It's one thing getting a good draw early on to get into the second round of a major or of a slam, but then it's another thing to cash in on that. Both those guys did that. Nick Kyrgios pulled out before the tournament. It amazes me how often people want to complain and talk about this guy. it's just he is just a lightning rod for people to complain and talk about. Loved his explosion there in Rome there a couple of weeks ago, where he threw the chair onto the court, swearing, carrying on. He's just full-on entertainment, and the game is a lot brighter when this guy's around. He's out, pulled out. He's moved. He's packed his bags. He's on his way to Wimbledon, and I can see him doing some real damage there if he gets himself in the right mindset. But Roger Federer, round one, took care of business, was off to a good start there. And if conditions are good in Paris, if we get some hot weather above 30 degrees Celsius and the courts are quick, then I see Federer, doing some damage there. I see him getting through and making it through to the second week. Dominic Thiem, Novak Djokovic, Rafa Nadal, matched up against Roger on the dirt, they're going to start favourites against him. And it's to be expected too. The great man hasn't been in Paris since 2015, and he's only just really gotten back into some clay court tennis this season on the ATP Tour. So Roger Federer, great to see him back in Paris playing this French Open, but to expect him to win this title is probably a bit much for Roger's standards. But be great to see him involved in the second week of action. Always great to watch him. And, I think it will take one of the bigger boys to take Roger out. I don't see him going down to a guy ranked outside the top 10, top 15. So I don't see a monumental upset there. But I think as the tournament progresses, backing up over five sets will take its toll, and maybe a little bit too much. But great to see Roger back on deck tonight. Some great matchups. You got Nadal in action. He should make short work of his opponent. He's I believe he's the favourite to win this title once again for the 12th time, I believe. Roger is on deck tonight as well, and a mouth-watering second round matchup between Kei Nishikori and Joe Wilfred Tsonga. That one's a beauty there. Tsonga has had interrupted season injury-wise, and he's just working his way back, but he's still a really big draw card on the ATP Tour, so that should be a lot of fun as well. Alex de Minaur in action tonight. He has his work cut out playing the Spanish dirt baller Karina Busta. Karina Busta will start that one favourite. I'll be surprised if de Minaur can get through that one. And Alexei Popyrin back on deck tonight as well. So plenty of action from Roland Garros. We're going to bring it to you. I think the red hot favorites, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, Dominic Thiem, still a little bit untested. I'm unsure about him for this one. He can be streaky. There's been a lot of talk coming into this event that he's one of the guys to beat, but yet to be seen. He has had a pretty solid season so far, winning his first Masters 1000 event there earlier on in the season, beating Roger Federer in the final, but he's still wildly inconsistent. Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal, for my liking, thank you very much. Going to take an absolute monumental effort to stop these two guys at the peak of their powers. But we're going to bring it to you. Plenty of action over the next 10, 11, 12 days from Paris. And we'll have plenty to talk about on the women's side as well. Coming up next, we're going to wrap up the show. It's been fantastic talking footy, NBA finals, and French Open. Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. You're listening to No Holds Barred. Stefanos Tsitsipas. That is my outside pick to do well in Paris, French Open. He's one who, coming in, saw some of his lead-up work and just playing sublime tennis. The forehand has come good. It was a real problem there 12 to 18 months ago when I saw him up close, but geez, I tell you, running around that backhand and just crushing forehands, and is a silky smooth mover, not afraid to come in either. So Tsitsipas from Greece, he's my outside pick to impact at the French Open, so keep an eye on him. Well, what a show. They had a little bit of everything. AFL, plenty going on in AFL circles. Of course, NBA finals about to get underway in about 48 hours, and the French Open, it's all going on. So, action-packed show. Tomorrow, we'll have some more AFL action. We'll have NBA finals will be a little bit closer, and we'll give you all the updates from the French Open in Paris, let you know how the Aussie men were doing, and we'll give you updates on Federer, Nadal, and the Nishikori and Songa matchup. We will be back. We will catch you on the airwaves then. This is Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. This has been No Holds Barred. We'll see you tomorrow.